All right, here we go. Tuesday, 1 o'clock, PGA DFS show from awesomeo.com. It's the US Open. This is a major. This is a major high level show. So what do we do? Well, we have me, but we've got the man fresh off his adventures. He's back at home. Eric Lindquist is with me. Sir, you made it. You look healthy. How are you?
Yeah, remotely healthy. My voice is still on the brink a little bit. A lot of fun was had. Was able to get out to South Dakota eventually after 3 days of travel woes, but ended up being all worth it. Got to hang out with, you know, my whole crew, and it's been great to have the feet or hit the ground running here with golf. Golf show yesterday with Jeff and Max was a blast, and obviously always excited to be on with you.
It's going to be a good we have a full lineup this week. You guys talked yesterday. Me and Jason Roslin will have you covered tomorrow night live before lock. We've got so much to dive into. I want to get into it. Chat, what's going on, everybody? It's good to see all our friends supporting the show. We appreciate you guys. If you could hit that like button. And I want to talk about our sponsors, Monkey Knife Fight, who also support us here. If you have not played, get on over there. Player prop-based contest, easy to play, not a huge time commitment. And it's not just golf. They've got the NBA. They've got UFC, esports, soccer with the Euros going on right now. Go to monkeyknifefight.com. Choose which game you want to play, your contest type, your buy-in level, and use the promo code AWESOMEO when you sign up. Instant first match deposit bonus of up to $100. So that is something to take advantage of. Now, I'm not going to lie, I did the run sheet. I determined what we talked about, but I am man enough to put in a Palmetto recap after I made fun of Higo on our Wednesday night show, and now he's the best player in the world. So you, unlike me, were smart enough to talk about him in a positive light. Talk about your boy. Very impressive last week for Higo.
Yeah, I felt good. So for me, I lost a little bit on the DFS side of it, but I bet him outright, and that ended up working out obviously fantastically well. I landed in Phoenix, and all of a sudden, I'm sweating that final hole. Just, you know, I'm looking at a massive possibility for a playoff there, and he ends up getting in the house at 11, and it was a really nice feeling. I apologize, I couldn't get you to play him. It was sad times there, but I know I did. I said you had to. It's one of those things where the data sat up well there. And I think the main thing that I talked about was winning is winning. At a professional level, I don't care who you are. I don't even care if you're playing Dakota's Tour, Canadian Tour. If you're winning twice on a European Tour, leading into a week where it's pretty wide open, and we talk about how wide open it is, I'll take the ownership discount on him. Everything seemed to be trending well for him. And 22 years old, up and comer. What a win by him.
Well said. I will give you that. And that's something, that's one disappointment I had about this. Nothing was really going to lead me to Higo, but I'm a firm advocate of give me people that are in pressure situations on Sunday against lesser competition than guys that are grinding against the best in the world and coming in 55th for years, because that's a different mindset. And when you get into contention, it feels, you know, Higo was able to handle that. He posted, Chesson Hadley was unable to do so. But other than that, I don't want to spend a ton of time on Palmetto. Do you take anything away from Brooks looking not his best, from DJ, you know, kind of just putting in a quality effort? Is there much to say leading into Torrey?
No, I guess the one thing is that Wilco hits the ball a long way. That's really confirmed. Fun. Confirmed missile launcher. So I'm excited to fire him up. We'll have some bomber talk. We'll talk a little bit more about some stuff that I brought up on Monday, and I want to get your take on as well. But yeah, I'm not drawing too many conclusions based off of it. I think the guys who are playing well, we kind of know who they are and have been here for a while. But we're also adding, I don't know, 55, 60 of the top 75 golfers to this field. So it's going to be very, very different, and I'm not going to try to overreact to anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really what we need to take away is the stage has been set. We know what's going on. What's going on at the Palmetto isn't going to sway me much with a world-class player. I just don't care. We got through that. It was done. Ben Martin didn't win. Sheamus was closer. That's all. That's my takeaways. Let's talk about what everybody wants to talk about, what chat wants to talk about. Torrey Pines, we see it at the Farmers. It's going to be different, but how different? And these are the type of questions that I want to break down to you. So first thoughts on Torrey in general. You know, it's a Farmers Open venue, but how different is it going to be as a US Open venue?
And that's the big thing too, because there's certain players that have a good track record in US Opens, maybe not so much here at a Farmers, and trying to figure out which one really kind of takes the priority for things. Like Xander Schauffele, for instance, is a guy who has four top, I believe he's never finished outside of the top six in any of the four US Opens he's ever played in, but doesn't play this golf course very well, considering he grew up in the area, considering he played high school matches at the area. Not somebody that I'm going to like, I don't know. It's like, which side of that do you take? I'm going to take the US Open side of it. I think if you've played well in US Opens in the past, they set these golf courses up so much harder than any other golf courses that you're going to see on tour at any point in time. They're known to be diabolical. I think this week will be diabolical. It'll be birdie scarce. And we're just going to try to figure out the guys who can kind of get it done, who can make all the 10 footers that they need to in pressure situations, who can kind of ride the swings and avoid the big numbers that are bound to happen for a majority of the field at a US Open.
It's a true test. You know, you look at skill sets, it's, you know, oh, I want my guy to drive it really long, really straight, be good with his irons. But if he misses the green, immaculate scrambler, and then he can make some putts. Like, that's it. Yeah. Find that. And unfortunately for us, the only guy that checks all those boxes is Griot, and he's not even here. So we're really going to have to dig deeper.
Yeah, what are you going to do this week? I was thinking about that. How do you even like live your life when you can't lock button that guy?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not used to building with six golfers, so I feel like I'm already starting behind the eight ball, but we'll make do. You know, weather, we're going to dig into more of that tomorrow. I don't want to really look at that. I don't see anything alarming right now, but I do want to say, you know, and it's tough to gauge. Do you think this is going to be something where Bryson has, I don't want to say broken things, but clearly he said, you know what, I'm just going to bomb it and I can get out of the rough. Do you think that the USGA and specifically Torrey can punish them enough where driving distance isn't going to be the end all be all and accuracy and premium off the tee is going to be more important?
Yes and no. I don't want to be too, I don't want to overreact to driving distance as much. Max talked a lot on the show yesterday about how he's just building with bombers and that's just going to be his way of going about it. I don't think that that's a terrible idea, but I think that there's other intricate things that can happen at a US Open. And, you know, obviously I think the big benefit isn't necessarily of just hitting it far because it's a longer golf course, but being able to get clubhead speed out of the rough. Like that was kind of the thing I remember most about Bryson last year was when he did get in trouble, he was able to get it on and he was putting at an unbelievable rate at that point in time. He was able to just salvage pars where other people weren't. He was able to keep the foot down and, you know, played so much better just than everybody else in the field and was able to kind of avoid the big numbers, avoid the problems, the problem spots. And I think like clubhead speed out of the rough is probably even more important than just, you know, the 10 yards difference that you're getting off the tee, you know, between the 30th and 40th longest players in the world. Like, I don't know. I don't want to like go completely crazy towards down that rabbit hole. But what are you kind of thinking about, like from a bomber aspect, what you're doing with this place?
I mean, of course, there's no course in the world that hitting it longer is going to be a disadvantage, but the reward I do think will be mitigated. I don't think you can just spray it wildly and survive here. You're going to have to punch out if you're really in this deep rough. And from what I've seen, it seems like they're almost doing something where the rough is getting worse as you get out in the fairway. So you're going to be really punished if you hit it long and very, you know, erratic. That could be a problem. I'm going to look at total driving. Again, the big time drivers, I still think you're going to have opportunities to carry some hazards and carry some trouble, but you can't just be a one trick pony here. You need a well-rounded game. And that's really what we're going to dive into here. So, are you ready?
I'm ready to rock. Let's go.
You're ready to rock, Chad. You guys look ready. I don't even need to ask. Here we go. We've got 10 north of 10 north of 5K. That's not it. We've got 5 north of 10K, though. That's actually true. Rahm is 11-2. Spieth, DJ, Bryson, and Brooks are in the 10K range. We got to start with Rahm. Clearly, he would have won the Memorial. The game is in immaculate shape. He's got a lot of experience really handling every type of test. Is this his moment? What do you do with clear favorite in the field?
I like him. I don't. 11-2. So we don't have any of the strokes gained data because he didn't finish the event. But we all know. We all know John Rahm was dominating human beings at the Memorial. Former winner here. This is where his entire career got catapulted into the stratosphere after he made that downhill winder on 18 earlier in the year. But just kind of going through a lot of his data over the course of this year at the PGA, ended up gaining 7.4 strokes gained tee to green, was kind of gaining stuff across the board there. Could have played a lot better than even just the eighth that he finished there. I just don't think it's going to be very possible for him to hurt you this week at 11-2. Like, the way that he hurts you is he finishes 14th and you have, you know, three or four other golfers in the range that go completely nuts. But like, in terms of like, if you're looking through his entire year, starting from the fall swing up until this season, I mean, going all the way, I guess we start with the BMW first, fourth, second, seventh at the Farmers, where he didn't even gain strokes around the green, but 9.3 strokes gained total. I mean, the guy is just a monster and he should be the favorite here. Definitely don't want to be looking at betting him at 10-1. That's not my style, but God, it's going to be hard for me not to have exposure in DFS.
Yeah. I mean, he's the favorite. He's the safest play on the board. The opportunity cost for paying 11 in a field like this is a little drastic. It's tough to build, but there's still plenty of value. It's a full field. It's top 60. It's a very difficult cut for everyone, but Rahm, you know, what is there to say? The game checks out. He's a winner here. There's nothing to knock on him. I think he's a great play like everybody else. I guess the question is, let's remove him for a second. You've got Spieth, you've got DJ, you've got Bryson, and you've got Brooks. Obviously, Brooks is Brooks. At the US Open, his game is so built for hitting it in the center of the green and two-putting, and that's what you need to do sometimes. Do you look at him, or do you say that Bryson and his type of game is more the way to go?
I like both of them. So Brooks, okay. I'm just completely writing off Palmetto. I really don't care. I think we talked about that in general. A guy who hits it left to right, that's going to be a big part of one of the ways that I'm going to be going about building. Second at WGC, second at PGA, pretty much unenthusiastic for everything else, but he's a guy who kind of gears up for these spots. Talks about that all the time, that's kind of what he's here to do. So yeah, looking at the PGA, I mean, 11.4 strokes gained tee to green, 7.8 on approach. Like, sign me up for a guy who's hitting the ball well in some of these spots where he actually cares. He's probably one of the guys who you just write off every other tournament that isn't some kind of an elite field or elite tournament. But looking around also at Bryson, I don't know how you could possibly put a knock on him too. Defending champion, hits the ball an absolute mile, sets up pretty darn well across everything. The one thing that I would say is discouraging is that he has seen these random flashes where the putter just kind of disappears. One of the things about him at his height, like especially last year going through a lot of his data, I mean, he just had so many tournaments where he had 5+ strokes gained putting. He was just putting at such an elite rate. We saw that pretty good performance at the Wells Fargo. He ended up gaining 7 strokes there, but otherwise so many disappointing putting weeks. Saw that again. Even Memorial, he was pretty flat, 1.3 gained, but nothing really significant. I think getting away from Koepka is something I'm much more willing to do depending on where that ownership lands. I think I'm going to probably have some Bryson no matter what.
Yeah, Bryson, listen, he's always a guy when it clicks, you look and you're just like, why don't I play this guy every week? Because he's unstoppable. He bombs it and then he makes all the putts. I do think he's also the most likely to miss the cut up here because of the way he plays. He can get in a lot of trouble really quickly. And when it gets off track, he has a harder time posting, you know, 74 or 75 than these other guys. I feel like they balloon to 78 with him far too often. I'm more with you than not, though. I think Brooks is someone, it's tough because the data sometimes doesn't lead you to him, but it's unquantifiable in a way that he gears up for certain tournaments. And you kind of have to accept that he's sitting sub 10% right now. And if that's the case, I can get over there. I like Rahm the best of all these guys. Spieth and DJ, you know, listen, they're all world-class players, but those two I'm a little more soured on. I don't have a ton of interest in them just because of the opportunity cost.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. And DJ, you know, played decently well at Palmetto, and he's got the left to right ball flight that I'm going to talk about here as we continue upon, like as we move down the rest of this field. But I think that there's just other guys in better form. I think you're paying a pretty steep rate for him. I would rather start a lot of my builds in the 9K range, which is just ridiculous this week, by the way, as most majors are going to be. But this 9K range is so elite that I'm going to have a tough time wanting to click him. If I'm going to click anybody up here, I mean, I'm prioritizing DJ. I will have some smatterings, I'm sure, in large field of Bryson and Brooks. But yeah, my God, I'm going to be prioritizing Rahm.
Prioritizing Rahm. Okay, yeah. I think we're pretty much in line there. But you just alluded to the 9K range. It's absolutely stacked. I mean, if you just showed this range, you could say this is the top of a major and no one would think it's crazy to start pricing with Rory and JT. And that's where we find at the 9Ks at 9,900 and 9,700, followed by Morikawa, Xander, Hovland, Cantlay, Reed. I mean, every single guy in this range is playable. A lot of them are going to be very popular. Right now, our projections are showing double-digit ownerships for the entire range. What do you do about that? How do you build? Do you double up on the nines, or is there one guy that sticks out?
I mean, the guy who sticks out for me is JT, because he's just the best ball striker on planet Earth. He's just been so, so bad with a putter. I mean, it's been really aggravating to watch him play the last couple, because he's somebody that has always been a guy that I've over-invested in. And I know that that's kind of the stand that I'm making, but when the switch flips for him, it's just unbelievable how much better he is. But losing 8.5 strokes putting at the Memorial and still finishing 42nd, I mean, that seems almost like, I don't know. It's just so tilting. 9.5 strokes gained tee to green. Come on. Like, driving the golf ball well, hitting his irons well there at the Memorial, coming off of that being his last tournament. And, you know, looking at the Valspar, lost 6.5 strokes putting, finished top 15. Like, God, just get the putter going 1 week here. And I think that he could be looking at just lapping a field. And I just want to be invested there. I would really kick myself not to be overinvested in him at this number. Under 10K for him, it's kind of the same situation, just from, instead of being from a betting angle where he was at TPC Sawgrass, where he was like 18-1 in spots. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to be betting Justin Thomas at 18-1. I think the same thing has to be said for playing Justin Thomas in DFS under 10K.
I have no problem with him. The putter's been horrendous. You've mentioned it. No one better in the world, though, at getting up and down from inside 100 yards, his wedges. And you're going to need that here. There's going to be a lot of holes, even if you're playing well, where you have to punch out and you have 90 yards for birdie. You have 110 left. And the ability to put that and give yourself a chance at par is going to be huge. Can he convert the putts? That's where we're going to have to wait and see. Then you've got Rory, who's just been... it's been a little weird stretch. He was so bad at the Masters. Then he wins and everyone thinks, oh my God, he's back. Then he has two flat performances off the tee. And that's what I really don't get. That's his clear strong suit. That's not what's been doing it. The irons have been much better, but his game is a little all over the map. I don't have, you know, I'm not saying I don't like Rory, but I definitely prefer JT. And in a range where there's a ton of ownership up for grabs, he doesn't stick out one way or another for me.
I got to still be playing Rory at this number. I mean, God, it's going to be curious, because as you said, everybody's getting double digit ownership on this top end or this 9K range. But I mean, you're getting less ownership on JT and on Rory than what you're getting in everybody else in that range. And I know it's because everybody's going balanced, and it looks so great to start your lineup off with Xander, Morikawa, Cantlay, Hovland, mm-hmm. obviously going to be crazy owned as well. But yeah, give me the two guys that are under 15% in that entire range. I love going that direction. Rory McIlroy, the best driver of the golf ball on planet Earth. Just if you're looking at strokes gained total driving over the course of the last 2 years, like over the course of his career, really, it can just continually, major winner, constantly going to be one of the legends of the game at the end of this thing. I think he could flip the switch at any point in time. And you'd look really silly being overweight to like Patrick Reed at 9K, I think, as opposed to just being way overweight on Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Rory's got to get back to being the best driver in the world. I think that's the key. But we'll see. Like I said, it's not to say he won't be in the pool. I prefer JT. Xander makes a ton of sense. He's going to be very, very popular. He finally showed that he can handle Torrey. After a bad stretch at Farmers, he's a San Diego guy. Everything checks out. You mentioned 4 U.S. Opens, no better, no worse than 6th. It's just a great spot. But again, if you're talking 25% ownership and you've got about 10 good pivots, we'll see what happens there. Talk to me about Hovland, though. He was runner-up at Farmers. The game is great. The around the green game is weak, though. Do you think that could gobble him up at a U.S. Open?
It could. I think he's trended up. I think for him, it's not necessarily that he needs to gain shots around the green. He just needs to be flat for the most part, because he's just so good tee to green. Looking at the Wells Fargo and the Valspar, I mean, the Wells Fargo, looking at that golf course, I mean, it's a tougher golf course on tour. And so I like looking at some of the tougher venues and being like, how did he perform there? Just 0.4 around the green, but like obviously a third, because he just completely mashes it. 8.8 strokes gained tee to green, 4.6 off the tee, specifically 3.8 approach. Like, these are good things to be looking at, like as far as a course comp to a more difficult venue. The Valspar as well, almost identical numbers across the board there. It's not that we need him to go gain him. We just need him to not be horrendous and kind of get away with a shot here or there. And if you can get him to be flat in that department, I think it's really hard not to want to pull the trigger on him because he is that elite getting it off the tee. I think out of anybody else in this field, I mean, we're seeing so many strokes gain totals where he's just in double digits in like, what, five of his last 10 tournaments. Those are big, big numbers. And that's huge upside to be having in this spot. And we're not seeing the double or the 20% plus that we're seeing for Xander. So I do like getting to a lot of Hovland this week. I don't think that's going to be a shocker to anybody.
I mean, yeah, Hovland is, he's immaculate driver of the ball, just a great player. We know that. Reminds me of Rory in a lot of ways. I do think that Farmer's, you know, again, I'm not really reading much into what he did there. He putted really well that week. If he can do that, I mean, when any of these guys, Hovland is officially in the bucket of all these guys, which is if they play well, they're going to be there. They're just that good. Any course, any time, any place. But you have to decide, you can't play them all. I probably come in slightly underweight on Hovland. It's no knock, but I'm not going to get over 20% of him. Cantlay is right there. He was the winner of Memorial. He took advantage. His tee to green has been ridiculous after the four missed cuts. He was good at the PGA. He won at Memorial. He gained 13 strokes tee to green. I bet him at 25-1. I like that number more in the outright market. I think he's going to be cash viable here, but again, what's there to say? I assume you have no problem with him, but how do you prioritize all the guys in the same range?
I mean, we can make an argument for every guy in the 9K range. You can literally make an argument for every single guy. Recent form, whether it's long-term form, whether it's a driver of the golf ball. Also, that was a ringing thing. I apologize to anybody where that just went. I don't know what I did. I'm just sitting here talking into the abyss, but it's okay. Fine. Yeah, I didn't do a thing. Jordan, I'm hands are up. So feeling pretty darn good about Patrick Cantlay as well. How can you not with the guy 14.3 strokes gained tee to green? The PGA kind of came out of nowhere. You know, top 25 there, lost a bunch of strokes around the green and putting, was horrendous there and still finished top 25, was kind of, I wouldn't say in the hunt. Nobody was really in the hunt on Sunday outside of like three dudes. So It was Brooks, it was Louis, it was Phil, obviously. So I think... looks great seeing back-to-back tournaments where it's on coming off of four missed cuts. Much more encouraging for Cantlay, trending in the right direction. Southern Cal guy, bunch of arguments you can make there too. For me, it's really, as you said, going to come down to ownership or just preference of like the way that their game sets up, the way that you're building your lineups. And you've brought me onto this more than anybody, but just being able to build for what this golf course might play like and being diabolical. And I think Hovland is a guy who has that left to right ball flight that I'm really kind of gearing after. Every single hole out here from a driving perspective sets up for that ball flight. The meatier parts of the fairway set up if you're hitting the ball left to right, where your misses can still catch the fairway or at least not go into like the longer cuts of rough. And so I think off the tee, it's just, he's one of the best people in the world that you could possibly be targeting in Victor Hovland. And now Patrick Cantlay's starting to get it going. I will say he was hitting a lot more three woods off the tee at Memorial than just about anything else. And this is maybe a small little dagger in Cantlay just to be like, okay, maybe I don't want to go crazy overweight to him. He hit three wood off of two. He hit three wood off of 16, 17. There were a number of, or not 16, par three. 17. He was hitting three wood a bunch there in that final round. And when he had to hit driver, it wasn't necessarily perfect in the final round, but that's a small little knock that you could possibly put in there. He was so good everywhere else that I'm not going to overreact to that.
Last guy before we move to the 8K range, winner at Farmers, Patrick Reed. He does it differently than every other guy. His ball striking's not going to look nearly as good, but he is probably the best at around, you know, him and Spieth, the way they work in and out of trouble, make putts, mask rounds. Do you go there or do you think that coming off a win at Farmers, it's almost a detriment because of the ownership bump?
Yeah, the ownership bump. And then also, like, what are we trying to draw from Farmers? Like, comparatively to what are we trying to draw from US Open history? Because this golf course is not going to play similarly. It's just, it's not. It's going to play much, much more difficult. And maybe that's a good thing for a guy who at the Farmers gained 3.9 strokes around the green. The rough wasn't short by any means, but I still don't know if I want to be drawing too much there. He went completely ballistic hitting the ball there during the course of that week. Hit it well at Memorial too, 11.5 strokes gained tee to green, finished fifth. You could probably be going that direction. I think the recent form matters more to me than even just the first at Farmers, but what do you kind of like prioritize him at all? I don't think I want to over the rest of this range. Maybe that's also just a personal bias where I don't like rostering Patrick Reed.
So that's the thing. People do not like to play Reed. I love to play Reed. He's one of my favorite golfers. Two roster.
Love you.
Because he just does it differently. I think people who are strictly numbers based, sometimes he gets lost in the shuffle, and I get it, but there's something about him. He's able to really handle adverse conditions. A lot of things that are US Open, you know, hot buzzwords, I think fall into the Reed category. He's that type of player. And you've seen the results, and he's someone that he's got a green jacket. We know he can do it. Do I prioritize him? No, but he is a nice second man. And I would never start a team with Reed. I think that's a little too balanced. You're omitting, you know, 10 to 15 of the best players in the world. But as a second man in, no problem, even if it's like a Rom Reed or a balanced where it is a JT Reed, something like that. So I like him. But as we said, true story of this range is that you are not going to find many red flags on anyone. It's going to be little things in terms of lineup construction, ownership, and that's about it, because all these guys are capable of winning this tournament.
Yeah, it's just so fun to build with 9K guys this week. And I think that makes me want to go to more Rom. Maybe he comes in a little bit lower than what we think he does, because it is so, so easy to build a lineup and look at it and be like, oh my Lord, if you start in that lower 9K range and kind of build from there. It seems like the contrarian way to go about it is just to get Rom, one of the guys from the 9K range, as opposed to two or three, and then build out the rest of your lineup.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, an element of possibly if ownership really inflates. I told you, I bet Cantlay. I may bet Xander as well. If I'm getting 20-1 there, if he's like 30% owned, I can mitigate some of that. Even with, I'll look to a top five market, because that's probably what you're shooting for in the DFS side anyway. And maybe I go elsewhere with my teams. But let's keep going. We've got the 8K range. Tony Finau is a name that I know we're all waiting for him to win anywhere, but it could be here. And I think the ownership reflects that, one of the highest on the slate. Now it starts to open up. You've got guys like Webb. You've got Willsey and Scheffler in this range. Hatton, who was good last week. Corey Connors, Usti. Talk to me about the eights. Does anything stick out? And where do you see yourself going here?
Tony Finau looks pretty darn good on this golf course. 8,900. Another guy, you can just basically call him the 9K range. I mean, I absolutely love rostering him here. Another guy that, why wouldn't I just roster all the bad putters again in honor of no Griot this week? We'll just go to the last two of, yeah, that's the smart, sharp approach, I think, personally. But looking at his last two at the Memorial, 32nd with almost six shots lost putting. Charles Schwab, 20th with almost 4.5 shots lost putting. The PGA top 10 when he was just flat putting. So like, it comes down to, is the putter going to be fine? I think that that's kind of been the question for a lot of Sunday final rounds, except for, I will give him the pass at Riviera. People overreact to this narrative that he's not a winner. He went out and played just like a baller at Riv on Sunday. And so like, I really don't have any of those kind of concerns where it's like, if he gets in the heat of it, I'm not worried about it. But I think it's just going to be, he putts well for a week or he doesn't putt well for a week, because the ball striking, the tee to green game has been there the last 3 weeks. I think it will continue to be there. One of the best drivers of the golf ball routinely. Very, very rare to see him lose more than like a shot or two in any tournament over the course of the last 2 years. Like strokes gained, tee to green, just a masher, does it consistently. Hard to not like Tony Finau in this range.
Yeah, I mean, he checks out. He's just going to be very, very popular. So I have no problem with it. He's going to be cash viable. Just got to keep that in mind. If you're using him and Xander and a couple others, you're going to have a minimal path. But as we work down, it opens up. Webb Simpson is a guy that, again, does it a little differently. He's going to put a premium on fairways gained. He's going to have to keep it in the short stuff because he's going to be way back. He doesn't drive it like these other guys. That's not his strong suit. But you can see, look at his U.S. Open results. This is a guy, he's a former winner, and he knows how to handle it. So there are other ways to do it. I have no problem with Webb. I certainly wouldn't look to Webb on like driver heavy teams, of course, because that's just not what I think gels. It's more premium on gaining strokes off the tee without distance. So I get that. What do you make of Willsey and Scheffler, who are good drivers of the ball? Willsey's a ridiculous iron player. He's almost in the Morikawa bucket of just insanity. Do you go to them, or do you think maybe still paying a premium for some of the past results?
I think his ownership, I just think people like to roster him now. Like, we're seeing him almost around 15%. And yeah, you should like rostering him if you rostered him at the Masters. But since then, it hasn't been as beautiful as you would want. I mean, an eighth at the PGA was nifty. That was good to see him kind of get back up to form at a major. So yeah, two top 10s in majors. I think that's going to make a lot of the public money that's coming in for something like a Millie Maker still kind of gravitate towards rostering him. But in the middle of that stretch, coming off of it, a Charles Schwab 59th, 17th at the Byron Nelson, missed cut at Wells Fargo, 42nd at Heritage, all right off the Heritage because that was kind of a trap week for him coming off of such a good Masters week. But everything else there has just kind of been erratic. You know, you talk about his iron play being so good, but five and a half strokes gain, or like lost five and a half shots, strokes gain approach last time out at the Charles Schwab. If you want to write that off, sounds great. But I think that there's other places that I would rather go. I'd rather go down to, and this is where, you know, if you want to talk about somebody's not getting owned, Corey Connors is under 10% right now, which is kind of surprising. I know you hate him. I know that you don't like anything that he's been doing to you over the course of the last however, but he's under 10%. He's a great ball striker. We're now going to a ball striking spot where you can basically target him at lower ownership for the first time in, I don't know, like months, it feels like. What are you going to do with him?
Don't know.
So you Corey look Connors, so conflicted. It's like I
am conflicted because, yeah. You know, it's funny, and I'm not saying right or wrong. Will Z, you just pointed that out. He lost his irons completely. Corey Connors finally lost his irons completely at Memorial. That was the first time in, like, you know, 6-8 months that he was just horrendous. He lost 4.5 strokes on the approach there. His around the green game is a disaster. And that's where I really worry because it's basically an automatic negative. He's been doing it tee to green. It's been a clinic. He checks every box in terms of, you know, stepping up to competition, handling majors, and you are getting a good ownership. But I worry that if it's really tough, if the winning, I'll tell you this much, if I think the winning score is going to be around even, I have a lot less interest in Corey Connors. If I think it could be between -5 and -10, I may look to him because you don't need a ton. I think I'd probably rather go to Hatton, though, who played well last week. I worry about his temper a little, but the game is in good form, and he was really good at Palmetto, gained 14.5 strokes tee to green.
Yeah, I like going to him, too. I think I like this lower 8K range more than I like the upper 8s outside of Finau. Hideki, Simpson, Zalatoris, Scheffler, I'm kind of off of those guys for the most part. But obviously Louis is my guy, 8,100. Yeah. How can you not just absolutely love rostering him? Almost hit the outright with him at the PGA. Do you know the last time that he lost strokes gain putting?
It's been quite a while. When was that?
Just take a look. It was the PGA. So it was August 9th, 2020. It's been, 15 tournaments since he lost strokes gain putting. The guy's just putting on a clinic short game. Not the greatest around the green all the time. Doesn't necessarily chip it close, but God, if you're making everything at a US Open, just give me some great putters, a guy who we know the potential like he had at the PGA where he finished T2, strokes gain T to green, 11. That's a nifty little number. And didn't even gain strokes or that many strokes off the tee. Just basically was flat, and he's going to be flat in that department, but he's going to hit it close. He's going to make a lot of putts. I just absolutely love playing Louis again this week. He's just going to be a guy that if he doesn't play well, I'm not going to have a good week.
No problem with Louis. He's been putting extreme pressure on his putter, but it's Louis. He's got so much experience. He's been there and done that everywhere. Doesn't win, but again, it doesn't matter. That's not important. He has plenty of equity for top fives, top tens. And we're in a range where, you know, he can handle it. So I worry a little that he's, you know, what happens if he does eventually regress with the putter, because that's going to happen. But I have no problem with just kind of continuing to buy at times with him. And it's not overwhelming ownership by any stretch. He's a little more popular than I'd like, but you can mitigate that. So for me, you've got Hatton. I don't mind Webb in different builds. Certainly Finau, but he's the chalk. Anyone else in the eights, or do you want to move on?
Yeah, I think we can probably move on here. Daniel Berger, I was going to try to make a thing. I wanted to make it a thing. I'm not going to make it a thing this week. Another spot where I'm just going to basically have none, try to move on with my life. But as I said, Corey Connors for me, Louis Oosthuizen, avoiding Justin Rose, Cam Smith, no thank you. I don't think he can get it done with a driver at this place. It's just not going to work in a US Open. It's been hit and miss. He's had a couple, like the Genesis. He gained over 10 strokes tee to green, but none of that is coming off the tee. Generally flat or losing a couple shots in that department. One of the better putters, but even that ended up in a miscut at Memorial when he lost strokes putting. No thank you to the bottom eights.
Yeah, that's fair. I will say in the betting market, which is one of many things, if you haven't checked out me and Josh's contender video, that'll be out tomorrow. Breaking some of these things down. I like Webb. Top 10 is over 4-1. I think that's pretty good value. And looking at one of the many tools we have here at Osmo, the unofficial world golf rankings, which Alex developed, Webb is one of the more underrated players just on the whole. And I think I've been guilty of that at times, but I don't mind going to him in the betting market. We've got some things though. I got some things to say about the 7K range, and that's where we're going to go right now, chat. A lot to talk about. Paul Casey kicks us off. Answer Fitzy. Lowry is playing out of his mind. Tommy Fleetwood is just there. I'm not going to take the whole range because there's a million guys here, but looking at the upper sevens, what stands out? Is there any guy that you're really hot on, really cold on, or in between?
If Abraham Answer is going to be 10%, I'm going to have an eternal amount. Like he might be my massive flag plant. And so number one in strokes, in left avoidance. And so if we're going to play the cut narrative, if he can get away with being off the tee and being flat in that department, I'm going to go and just target his upside here. I think at 7,900, I'm going to have a crazy, crazy amount of him. As you said, Tommy Fleetwood's just there. That's fantastic. Paul Casey going to be the chalk of that upper edge of that upper range. Then Shane Lowry. I mean, we are seeing some massive ownership on Shane Lowry right now. I don't know why DraftKings made him 7,600 coming off of back-to-back, top sixes. Looked fantastic at the Memorial, looked fantastic at the PGA Championship, just trending up. This seems like another golf course that just sets up so, so well for him. I don't know what to do with him. He's probably out of everybody on the entire board, the most difficult guy to figure out what to do with, because 24%, 25% is a big, big number on a guy. And there's some volatility to be had in. It's Shane Lowry. It's not like Rory McIlroy or Justin Thomas. We're not talking about a guy that, I mean, yeah, he's a major winner, but I don't know what I'm going to do with him yet. And I think that that's going to be the big decision that I have to make between now and Thursday.
Listen, he's playing amazing. That's why he's really popular, because he's underpriced. But as you mentioned, it's a very difficult cut to make for everyone. There's going to be big names that miss this cut. And Shane Lowry, of course, he's better than a coin flip to make it, but he's no big lock. Name. That's for sure. I like the play. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of how do I structure? Do I look to one and done? Do I look to betting maybe to offload some of that? And I have some exposure, but not a ton. That's something that I'm considering, because there are other names. Kokrak is right there. If you think he can survive around the green, Neiman is right there. If you can think he can survive around the green, there's a lot of really good tee to green players here that can't scramble. Sam Burns is another one. I think that's maybe a little thin, but what do you make of the English guys? You've got Rose, Casey, Fleetwood, and Fitzy all in a micro range of $200. Do you prioritize any of them? I think Paul Casey's probably the safest, but I'm sure the field would correlate with that.
Yeah, Fitzy's getting some massive ownership right now. Yeah, Fitzy's definitely the guy that I think is going to be the most owned. Fleetwood, just a write-off. I hope he's higher on than 4% or whatever it is that he's going to be, because he's just bad, and I don't think he necessarily can get it done here. Don't clip that when he goes out and finishes top five now, but whatever. Paul Casey, definitely, I think, the guy that I want to be prioritizing the most. Fitzpatrick, it's still going to be a long golf course for him, and he gets it done differently in that department too, where he can just make it happen. But I'm not going nuts. I'm not going over the moon to be rostering Matthew Fitzpatrick on a 7,600 yard golf course by any means. And then you also said, I'm just going to throw it out there, because I mean, you had said Sam Burns, and I love Sam Burns. I know he's not English. I know it's not going towards the narrative we're talking about here at the moment, but I can't get away from Sam Burns this week at that ownership. We've seen so much upside for him. I know that it's different course type and everything, but God, if you're winning at this point in time, you obviously have, he's got a fantastic reason for him. If you basically throw out 1 week at the Memorial here, I mean, coming off of the Byron Nelson and the Valspar, just playing so, so good, did lose three shots around the green, but he had been gaining three in a row there, and that had been trending up. And that was kind of the reason for the resurgent for him to be playing so well. So I do like getting to a lot of Sam Burns this week. And I think that'll be another one of my bigger stands.
All right. That's a little hot takey. I like it. I respect it. To me, Sam Burns is a permanent guy that fits specific builds. I think he really needs it to play easier than they expect. He's built to score. He's a great scorer. He's a Bermuda split guy. That's not ideal, but there's no doubting the talent. Sam Burns can play, and I think we see that. So I'll look to the, like I said, I think Answer's another guy who's going to gain off the tee without being long. You can throw him in that bucket. Shane Lowry's the chalk. You've got Kokrak. You've got Niemann. You've got Woodland. Another tough one for me. A winner of a major, of course. He can do it. But is the game, is he the same guy right now from when we saw him take that step?
I love Gary Woodland. And I think it was Max or Jeff. One of them brought me onto Gary Woodland yesterday. I mean, I think we had some pretty good consensus talk yesterday about a couple of these guys that just kind of stood out here of late. Didn't play well at the Memorial, but at the PGA, was starting to hit it a lot better here. His ball flight's really going to come in handy for this golf course as well. We know that he can hit those stingers. He can hit that lower shot. Just basically get the ball in play at the Wells Fargo. 11.7 strokes gained off the tee. 11.7 strokes gained total. 8.1 strokes gained tee to green. A really good tee to green player. 4 strokes or better in 3 of his last 4. So I think that he's trending up. I think that the Memorial, I'm just going to write it off. And I feel all right with that. It's kind of a wonky start for him there, but the Charles Schwab, PGA, Wells Fargo, all top 40s. I don't think he's going to hurt you in this range. Yeah, you want him to be playing a little bit better, look more like the Wells Fargo, but I think he can drive the ball so, so well in this spot. I believe second in driving distance over the course of the last 50 weeks or over the course of the last 50 rounds, excuse me. So I like getting to some Gary Woodland for sure.
You're definitely higher on him than I am. Game's a little all over the map. He can definitely do it. He was good at Wells Fargo, as you mentioned. I've got, you know, Leishman is right there, who's the complete wild card. He's a winner at Farmers, but I'll tell you this much. When he won at Farmers, he did it without hitting basically any fairways. And I think if there's one difference that we're going to see right off the bat, that's just not going to work. He's going to need to drive it a lot better. His off the tee game has been bad for a while now, so that gives me some hesitation. But there is one guy we have not talked about in the upper sevens, and I'm not going to go on a tangent with Inside the NBA because I love that show, but Charles Barkley has his guarantee button. I am telling you right now, Chad, and you can put this down in Sharpie. Phil Mickelson is missing the cut. I plus 120 in the betting market for that. You can put it down in Sharpie. That is the best bet of anything that you can bet this week. Phil Mickelson will not be finding the weekend at Torrey Pines in a major. Now, he did just win the PGA, and I would have bet all the money in the world that that would never happen. So what do I know? But I think that Phil in the betting market too short is as good of a situation as you are going to find. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Ben Rossa woke up and chose violence, and I'm here for it. He chose violence. And here's the thing. I absolutely love it. We're talking about a 50-plus-year-old who's from the area. What was that?
Plus 120. I thought this would be minus 250.
Yeah, it's such a smash. This is when you brought this up earlier before the show, this was like, oh my God, I am embarrassed. I didn't think of such things because I love the miss the cut bets. I mean, I went after the Bryson, what was it? Plus 650.
You were almost there.
Miss the cut at the Masters. And I almost got there. And that was my hot take of the week. I love miss cut bets because in DFS, we're always trying to capture upside. Well, we also want to capture downside when we can, when we see something this glaring. And I think this is a great opportunity to capture downside. Has not played well at this golf course since they renovated it. He's just been bad. He's won what 20 years ago or something here. It's been a long, long time. It feels like it's so negligible. It does not matter. This is a fantastic spot to be going plus money on Phil Mickelson, making a cut top 60. Good luck, buddy.
We're going to see, Chad, because I really like that, but let's get back to DFS because he's not relevant there. Lower sevens, Max Homa, Charlie Hoffman. Higo is a fascinating situation. I have to defer to you there before I give my own thoughts on that. What do you make of the guys that could possibly round out a balanced lineup?
I mean, I don't need Higo to win. I just need Higo to play well, and he's playing very, very well. And that's the thing. Like, I generally would shy away from players that coming off of their first win, but he's going from a spot where he's winning to going to a major. And now it's game time. Like, now he's going to be geared up for it. And he's obviously in fantastic form. He seems like he's got a really good demeanor for a US Open as well. I really like getting to Higo here. I really like firing him up everywhere. I have no problem going to him, but Max Homa really is kind of the other dude that I'm making a big stand on this week. That was Jeff's guy yesterday. And I really think that underneath 10% there, plays well in Southern Cal guy, maybe kind of grouping all those guys in a bucket as well, just see this surface and see this this grass type so often growing up, and it, just the familiarity with it. All these SCGA events, I mean, I'm playing in those all the time with these dudes, and you kind of get used to hitting the same shots at all of these golf courses. And I know you don't look at Riv and think Torrey Pines, and you don't think Torrey Pines and think of Pebble Beach. I mean, you're bouncing around. It's the Poana. It's the same kind of putting surface where you get these slicked up greens, and it can get very, very wonky at times, but you're hitting a lot of similar shots in places. And I think the familiarity for Max Homa in this spot makes me pretty excited to roster him. And obviously seeing the sixth at Memorial, even with the around the green, we just need him to be flat around the green. That's the other part of it too. I mean, still finished sixth, losing half a shot around the green, but 6.5 putting, that's nifty. He spikes these big putting weeks, and that's what I'm looking for.
I like Homa a lot as well. California guys done it. He's shown he can win at these type of tracks. Just a solid player, Wells Fargo winner, Genesis. I see some comps there. We got a lot of sharp people in chat. One of the many is Justin. He just said Homa, Grace, and Wallace. I'm on that wavelength. I like all those guys. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to take it, obviously, chat, like everything else, not have biases leak in. I don't mind Higo, but I cannot believe the ownership on a guy that still to me is relatively unknown. We know he can do it. It's confirmed. We just saw it, but is he going to do it consistently? And I know he doesn't need to win here. He needs to make a cut, but to me, that's still too much ownership on Higo. I'm not there. Once again, I'd go to Hoffman, Grace, Wallace, Homa over him pretty easily. Actually,
I did not see the ownership until this second. And now if you're watching me, you can watch that back. I just basically just swallowed
my tongue.
Isn't
that shocking?
What? Okay, that's different than what I was expecting. So I didn't hit refresh from yesterday until this given time and moment. So I hope I was still pretty on the ball with everything. But my God, that is large. That is a large ownership share on him. Yeah, okay. Well, put him in the bucket with Shane Lowry of guys where I'm going to have to make some uncomfortable decisions. But I like Higo. Maybe I have to play cash this week. Maybe that's what I'm starting to learn, is that I have to make a cash lineup. And I have to just play Lowry, play Higo, have my exposure there 50-50 with tournament, because I don't know what else to do. Like, I think those two guys are like two of the first clicks in for me there. Can kind of build through there. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways to do it. Again, Higo is another player that, and I think people have been taking advantage of this. You could look to the betting markets again. There's going to be some pretty good numbers. Obviously, it's all depressed because he just won, but I don't see the need to lay that type of ownership. And if you want our full ownership, it's one of the many reasons to get Inside the Ropes, Osmo Plus. We have weekly packages, monthly, all sports, single sports. It's really anything you need. Osmo.com/join. There's no better time to get in for a major like this. So I just want to throw that out there. Let's keep going, though. We've got about 7 minutes left. We're going to do some things coming up next. We have content all day, whether it's hockey, NBA, MLB, big playoff games tonight. Chad is mentioning Harden. Maybe he's playing. Maybe he's not. I don't know what's going on. Anyone else from the sevens? Russell Henley was just thrown out there. I do think you can look to him because he's got extreme variance in the approach game. His miscut equity is gigantic. I want you to keep that in mind. But when we're talking about, like, I'm trying to win the milli off $10, Russell Henley's that type of play.
Oh, absolutely. And I find it fascinating going through a lot of his stuff too, because I always think of him as a pretty darn good putter, and he's been atrocious putting over the last five tournaments. I mean, losing right at 2 strokes putting. Maybe that's a personal bias I have on him. So I played some golf with him out in Palm Springs right after he ended up making it on the web.com tour back in the day. And he was getting ready for the Amex. It would be now would be the, what the tournament's called. I can't remember what it was called then, but the guy makes absolutely everything. And that's kind of the way that you feel when you're a mere mortal playing with PGA Tour guys. But a guy that I kind of have a personal bias on because I've just seen the form kind of coming here and there. And as you said, extreme variance in the approach game. That's the kind of thing that can bounce around, because we saw at Heritage 8.8. We saw at Honda 2.7. The potential is there for it. 3.2, even at the PGA where he finished 71th and at the floor. So there's going to be pretty much nobody there in that range. I don't mind getting to a little bit in large field GPPs. He's not going to be a big part of anything I'm doing for, some of my bigger lineups, but I don't mind having exposure to a guy who, if he can flip the switch and just be remotely competent there, he can definitely spike it large for the strokes gain approach.
Yeah, not going to be a core play, maybe a fringe Millie play, as most of this range. So floor is now wide open. We're into the sixes. Thing about the US Open is it's an open invitational. So you're going to have a lot of names of how did this guy get there or who is this guy? So that's where it's going to be very difficult. I want to talk about Valco, Wilco, whatever this guy's name is. Again, very impressive. He bombs it. Do you think that he can be Bryson Cam Champ formula of just, you know what, I'm going to carry it as far as I can and figure out the rest later?
I think he's better than Cam Champ for sure. I mean Cam Champ came on the scene hot, ended up winning up in Napa. I don't hate Cam Champ as a person, but he's not a very good golfer, doesn't have the all-around stuff that I'm looking for. I think this guy might be it. I mean, 360 plus off the tee last week. Just an absolute joke how far he hits it. And it's not forced either. And this is something where we don't have as much data on him, so I don't mind bringing it up as kind of a point. It's not like he's swinging out of his shoes. It is controlled. It is flighted. It is beautiful. Like, the guy is an absolute stick, I think. And I want to be early and often to a guy like this. If we're going to be building bomber teams, I'm absolutely going to be having him as a piece of those. Has an early tee time there for the first round. I'm not sure what that weather draw is going to be, but under 1% for him. I'm going to have at least probably 5%. I can guarantee you that. There's really no question there. I'm curious if he does get any potential. I saw he was on the front page of PGA Tour's Instagram, just hitting a bomb the other day. Earlier today. So I want to at least have caution that ownership could come up quite a bit once people start grouping stuff into bombers. But if it's going to be under 1%, there's no way that I'm not going to have more than that.
Yeah. Listen, I think, again, we don't know. When you don't know, that can be really good. We didn't know with Higo. And if you played him last week, you were paid off. Maybe dangerously bad the other way, but that's a risk you have to take. If you want an insight into Eric's full player pool, or mine, or Alex's, or Jason's, or anyone on the team, our PGA Expert Pro Plays is one of my favorite tools here. Come on in and check that out. You get exposures, kind of insight into how we're structuring some teams and whatnot. Thoughts on Adam Scott? I'll be honest, I don't really have any. He just hasn't been playing that much. His off the tee game is weak. I think he's kind of in the bucket with Leishman. So not a strong take there. Probably not in my player pool.
Yeah, me either. I got a guy. Are we just open on the under 7K or under
it
the
is
6K?
Your time to shine. Take it away, my friend.
I have a guy at 6,100 that I want to bring up.
61?
6,100. I have a guy at 6,100. Ben, you ready to have your mind blown? I brought this up yesterday on the show, and I got actually a resounding yes.
It's so I'm Chan curious. Kim.
It is absolutely Chan Kim.
Okay.
Chan Kim. Ended up finishing 23rd. I didn't know who he was until I was researching on Sunday. And not only that, but I had some buddies that played in the Southern Cal. So you play locals, it's 18 holes. You play 36 holes at sectionals. This dude bombs the golf ball. He ended up dominating the sectional field. I believe it was in Long Beach is where they had the sectionals. Normally it's in Newport Beach. So it was kind of like throwing me off a little bit, but he dominated the field there. Finished 23rd at the PGA, gaining 4.2 strokes gained approach, was basically flat, 1.3 strokes gained around the green. The WGC Mexico, the other spot we saw him, 4.4 strokes gained around the green. He bombs it, absolutely bombs it, and it seems like he's pretty good around the green. Now, the putter looks like it can be hit and miss. He played in the U.S. Open last year. It was September 20th. It's going to play. This is not going to be the same kind of situation here, but missed the cut. Was flat across the board, pretty much zeroed out at everything. But I am going to have an irrational amount of a 6,100 guy. I think that opens up a lot of exposure to Rom for me. But I really like Chan Kim this week. I'm willing to take that dart. I don't need much. A 23rd would make me pretty stoked. Like he had at the PGA. I think he might be getting more comfortable. We'll see. But I'm taking that dart this week.
I think there's a couple guys. I don't know if I need to go that low as we wrap it up here, just because I don't know how often I want to double north of 10. And that's more really if you're going like Rom Bryson or something, maybe you throw in Chan Kim. I think for me, Wyndham Clark, who's a good price, and they just, you know, Chad just asked about FanDuel. He's a good price on FanDuel as well. Johnny Vegas is really driving the ball well if you want to look to him. There's just not a ton down here, though. I think you need to be pretty careful. EVR is interesting. He's starting to show some form. But man, he's burned a lot of people in a lot of different spots. But I think for me, that's really where I'm looking here. I'm going to try to keep it more balanced than not, though. I don't want to dip lower than 65, I think is pretty much filled with miscuts.
Yeah, Brendan Steele, the last guy that I'll throw in, 6,500. I like getting to him a little bit. We've seen a couple top fives here over the course of the last calendar year. We had a fourth at Sony, third at Honda, not similar golf courses, but the upside can be there for a big week. Has gained in both of those tournaments, over five shots tee to green. That's going to kind of be the key for him.
I like it. I think we accomplished some good things here. Number one being that Phil will not be playing the weekend. And number two, that there's a lot of chalk that we're going to have to compete with. And that's how we're going to try to sort it out. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. We got Live Before Lock. And if you have any questions, at Eric Lindquist, at Jazz Rays DFS, we're here to help. And we certainly want you guys inside the ropes. So chat, this has been fun. It's a great tournament. One of my favorites. We will be back tomorrow night, 8:00 Eastern. We hope to see you all then. Hit that like button on the way out and stay tuned for plenty more content today from awesomeo.com. Good luck, everyone.